Welcome to Brushstrokes of Being podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and have conversations with people in the arts. I am Karin Merix, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, cultural philosopher, teacher, and mentor. Welcome back to Brushstrokes of Being. Today I want to explore and review Kathy Hassell's ambitious attempt to trace women's artistic contributions from 1500 to the present in the story of art without men. It's a sweeping project, one that reaches across 5 centuries, an undertaking that is both inspiring and, as I'll suggest, incomplete in ways that reveal something more profound about how we still construct art history. Hassell's great strength is her storytelling. She brings to life the women who carved out space for themselves in a world that insisted they had none. Sophonisba Anguissola and her poised self-portraits. Artemisia Cendelici and her fierce narrative power. Rosalba Carriera, the quiet architect of pastel's rise. Berthe Morisot, shaping modernity through intimacy and light. For readers new to the field, the book opens doors that were locked for far too long. And as we move into the 19th and the 20th centuries, Hassell follows women stepping into modernity. Käthe Kollwitz, bearing witness of human grief. Hilma af Klint, opening the spiritual dimension of abstraction. And Louise Bourgeois, probing psychological space through experiment after experiment. These chapters are among the most compelling because they reveal a broadening of artistic vision as the gates of training and exhibition open. But when the narrative arrives in the 20th century, something shifts. The selection tilts towards the dominant art market story. Women working in conceptual, performative, or spectacular modes aligned with the contemporary frameworks of cultural critique. There is nothing wrong with that focus, yet, in a book that claims the full sweep of 1500 to now, the omissions acquire weight. One absence in particular stands out. The women who today devote themselves to the classical craft of painting from life. Artists trained in rigorous ateliers in Florence, London, the US and Europe. Women who carry forward the lineage of observation, anatomy, color, and the slow, attentive rendering of human presence. They are part of a living continuum, stretching directly back to the very artist Hassell champions in the early chapters. Yet, they do not appear. I'm speaking of artists such as Isabella Watling, Harriet Pattison, Frances Bell, Daisy Sims Hilditch, Rebecca Harp, Olivia Liv, Ruth Ballou, Zoe James Williams, Amy Florence, Mia Wurlich, Sarah Longe, Florence Houston, Grace Payne, Vicky Somaris, Anne Ritterich, and beyond the UK and Florence lineage, Michelle Dunaway, Sadi Valeri, Juliet Aristides, Mia Bergeson, Cami Davis, Sharon Sprung, Alonza Guevara, Daniela Stone, Mandy Tace, Cornelia Hernes, Lucia Riccelli, Teresa Oxarca, Tina Escola, Melissa Franklin Sanchez, Anna Rose Bain. Women who are shaping and refining classical realism today. Their absence is not a footnote, it is a signal. And this is where the book unintentionally exposes a paradox at the heart of contemporary feminist art history. The canon was widened, yes, but the criteria for inclusion still bend towards conceptual innovation and the aesthetics of disruption. Technical mastery, especially classical mastery, is often treated with suspicion, as if skill itself were conservative or somehow insufficient, aligned with contemporary concerns. But that suspicion is an inheritance from modernism, not a feminist insight. Artemisia Gentilici was not celebrated for being conceptual. She was referred to for her astonishing comment, and for poets, writers and thinkers recognizing her mastery. Angelica Kaufmann, Elisabeth Figuier-Lebrun and Rosa Bonheur, these women entered the canon through depth, craft and the linguistic fluency in paint and rivaled any of their male contemporaries. Today's atelier-trained women stand precisely in that lineage. To exclude them is not simply to overlook a movement, it is to perpetuate a hierarchy that once excluded women from training and now devalues the training they have finally secured. If we want a meaningful history of women's art, we must embrace the full spectrum: conceptual, experimental, academic, classical, and everything in between. Otherwise, we replicate a truncated narrative, one that celebrates early mastery but ignores its living descendants. In the end, Hessel's book is a valuable and accessible point of entry. It brings many forgotten artists out of the margins, but it also shaped by the blind spots of the contemporary market. And for a truly complete story, we need a wider lens, one that includes the women who challenge the art world, not by shocking it, but by elevating the quiet, demanding language of craft to the highest level. They, too, are part of the story, and they are essential for the future of art. I wish you a very peaceful and productive week. And remember, art is the cradle of your soul. Take care.